Imagine putting on like a hazmat suit just to go read a book.
Right, like you're gearing up for something dangerous.
Exactly. You check your oxygen seals, you step into this highly pressurized, totally isolated environment.
And you just find yourself surrounded by things that are, fascinating, but completely alien.
Yeah, and inherently toxic.
It really is the reality of modern digital archaeology. I mean,
Yeah.
you are deliberately stepping into an ecosystem that was never engineered for outsiders to survive in.
No, not at all.
The local flora and fauna are, they're hostile by design.
Which brings us to today's deep dive. We are zipping up our digital hazmat suits to explore a very specific, incredibly chaotic corner of the internet.
Oh, yeah, chaos is the right word.
Our source material today is a complete archive of an anonymous image board thread from March of 2026, specifically from a board called Mejidokken Den.
And because we are stepping into such a highly toxic environment, we really need to be clear about what we're looking at here.
Yes, absolutely. We need to explicitly state to you, the listener, that this source material contains highly charged, politically extreme, racial, anti-Semitic, and deeply offensive content.
From multiple extremes, too.
Right. And we are navigating this space strictly as impartial reporters. Our goal isn't to validate or endorse like a single syllable of what these users are saying. We are just trying to convey the ideas contained in the original source material. We are in no way endorsing or taking sides on any of these viewpoints.
Exactly. We're treating this thread like an anthropological dig. We just want to understand the mechanics of how this highly insulated subculture operates.
Right, like how they camouflage their ideologies and how they react when reality tries to break in.
And honestly, the best place to start decoding this culture is to look at how they interact with artificial intelligence.
Oh, it's so revealing.
It really is. The friction between this incredibly raw community and highly sanitized AI models tells you everything you need to know.
So the tool they're using in this thread is Google's Notebook LM. And for anyone who hasn't used it, it's designed to be this sophisticated AI research assistant, right?
Yeah, the intended use case is, you upload your dense legal documents or college lecture notes.
Right, and the AI synthesizes it, finds connections, helps you study. It's built for productivity.
But that is definitely not what the users on Mejidokken Den are doing.
Not even close. They are taking their own unhinged, sprawling image board conversations, feeding them into this corporate AI, and basically just poking it with a stick to see what breaks.
They're running a cultural stress test. And the AI's reaction mechanically frames the bizarre nature of their community perfectly.
Because it just refuses, right?
Yeah, time and time again, the AI simply refuses to generate content based on the taboo topics they feed it. It hits a safety guardrail and completely shuts down.
And the most glaring example of this in the archive is this massive, highly politicized essay dropped by a user going by the handle Trans Girl Connoisseur.
This post is wild.
It really is. The user posits this sprawling conspiracy theory, claiming that the popular life simulation video game, The Sims, is actually an Israeli-coded Jewish simulator.
Yeah.
And the evidence they present to Notebook LM is just so hyper-specific. Like, they argue that in The Sims, there are virtually no physical labor career tracks.
Right, you don't see your Sims going off to do mining or factory work.
Exactly. Which this user claims perfectly aligns with the Talmudic law regarding labor.
And it gets much darker and a lot more granular from there. The user focuses heavily on the game's service sims.
Oh, the NPCs.
Right, the non-playable characters who show up to deliver a pizza or clean the house. And the user employs deeply offensive language here, referring to these service NPCs as goyim.
Wow.
They put out a specific game mechanic service sims do not have a plumbob.
The plumbob being that iconic green diamond that floats over a playable character's head, right?
Yes. And in this user's mythology, the plumbob represents a human soul.
So according to the game's logic, the only way a service sim can ever get a plumbob is if they marry into a playable household.
Exactly. The user equates this gameplay mechanic directly to religious conversion.
It's just so dense. They even pull in real-world automotive history. They point out that The Sims features a specific car, the Renault Fluence ZE.
Which was a real electric vehicle.
Right. And in the real world, it was only ever sold in large numbers and supported by battery swapping infrastructure in Israel.
So the user takes this incredibly dense cocktail of anti-Semitic tropes, wraps it entirely in the harmless lore of a 2000s PC game, and feeds it to the AI.
And the AI just refuses to touch it.
It completely throws up its hands. But what's crucial to understand here is the mechanism of how this community communicates.
Right, the camouflage.
Exactly. They're camouflaging hate speech inside niche gaming trivia. If an automated content moderator, or even just a casual observer, scans that text,
they might just see a bizarre critique of The Sims architecture and NPC mechanics.
Right. The bigotry is completely encrypted, but the large language model catches the underlying pattern and refuses to process it.
Yet the AI does happily generate summary slides for other less offensive but equally weird topics they feed it.
Yeah, it creates this incredible dynamic.
It's like the AI is acting like a polite, heavily sheltered corporate representative who accidentally got locked in an escape room with a bunch of conspiracy theorists.
That is the perfect way to describe it.
The AI keeps trying to steer the conversation back to safe, productive summaries, while the users just keep trying to force it to acknowledge their madness.
But by refusing to analyze that rant, the AI is actually giving them exactly what they want.
Wait, really? How so?
Well, in their eyes, AI represents the ultimate avatar of the mainstream, sanitized corporate world. It's the normal society that they define themselves in opposition to.
Oh, I see.
So when they map the AI's ethical boundaries and hit a wall, every single refusal is logged as a victory. It's empirical proof that their subculture is too raw and too dangerous for the mainstream to digest.
Wow. Okay, so since the AI refuses to analyze their media for them, the users are basically forced to analyze it themselves.
Yeah. And without any guardrails to keep them on track, their pop culture deep dives become obsessive. I mean, they are surreal and incredibly dense.
The thread moves at this rapid fire, almost manic speed. We see them pivot instantly from a completely serious debate about whether the real life musician Will.i.am is secretly the biological father of a character named Dave Strider from the webcomic Homestuck.
Which is such a specific internet pull.
Right into a forensic critique of the Homestuck creator, Andrew Hussey. They spent a massive amount of time analyzing interviews Hussey gave between, like, 2009 and 2012.
Yeah, they accuse him of having this duplicitous communication style. They claim he used layers of irony to obscure his true intentions from his fan base.
And that made me wonder, why are they so fixated on a webcomic author from 2009 in the year 2026?
Because that specific era of early 2010s webcomic culture forged the foundational language for this exact demographic.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Homestuck and similar media taught an entire generation of internet users how to speak in recursive layers of irony. It's a communication style where you never have to be pinned down to a sincere belief.
So by analyzing Hussey's tone from 15 years ago, they're basically studying their own sacred texts.
Precisely. They're debating the origins of their own inability to speak sincerely.
And that obsessive need to deconstruct mechanics, it bleeds directly into how they talk about video games, too. There are huge portions of this thread dedicated to retro gaming.
Right, like playing old Castlevania titles on fake, pirated Nintendo DS hardware.
Yeah, and then it shifts into a highly technical debate about role-playing game mechanics. Specifically, they argue over RPG Maker,
which, for context, is a consumer-level game engine that completely defined the indie gaming scene in the 2000s and 2010s.
Right. And one user argues passionately that enemy AI in these role-playing games shouldn't use random number generators to decide what attack to use.
Oh, the RNG debate.
Exactly. They say the enemies should run on visible, programmable scripts that the player can memorize and outsmart.
It's entirely about the illusion of control. In a world that feels overwhelmingly chaotic and unpredictable, they want their media to be fundamentally solvable.
They want a system where if you just study the underlying code hard enough, you can manipulate the outcome perfectly.
Exactly.
Which brings me to my absolute favorite piece of media critique in this entire archive. A user pitches a deconstruction of Batman.
Oh, this was dark.
It really is. They point out the logical absurdity of Gotham City. They argue that a billionaire spending billions of dollars on a custom supercar and military-grade power armor just to drive around beating up street-level thugs who are stealing televisions is fundamentally insane.
Especially because Gotham never actually gets any safer.
Right. So the pitch is that the utter futility of this crusade drives Bruce Wayne completely mad. The Batman persona is dropped, and Wayne adopts a secret, secondary serial killer persona just to vent his psychotic, infantile rage on the city.
It is a relentlessly dark, cynical read on a classic hero whose primary rule has traditionally been no killing.
But looking at all of this together, you know, the webcomic genealogy, the RPG coding, the serial killer Batman, it feels like they're taking a wristwatch apart. Not to see how it tells time, but to see if the gears can be used as tiny weapons.
That's a great way to put it.
Why are they deconstructing media with this level of hostility and intensity?
To build a moat.
A moat.
Yeah, a defensive barrier. This level of analysis requires a massive, almost pathological, investment of time and mental energy. Decoding the behavior of RPG Maker assets, or tracking the specific ironic tone of a 2009 forum post, that is how you signal in-group belonging.
Oh, I see. It's like a shibboleth.
Exactly. If you can speak this incredibly dense referential language, you belong inside their fortress of escapism. If you don't instantly understand the references, you are an outsider.
So the sheer density of the conversation is a defense mechanism designed to keep casual internet users like the normies out. So they've built this impenetrable wall out of retro games, deep cut lore, and layers of irony. But right in the middle of this thread, a piece of agonizing, inescapable real-world reality violently breaches those walls.
This is the most jarring transition in the entire archive.
Amidst all the esoteric media analysis, that same user, Transgirl Connoisseur, drops a horrific, urgent post about the city of Oleshky, Ukraine. And this is in early 2026.
The details are just agonizing.
They really are. The user describes a complete military blockade of the city. Starvation is setting in. They talk about civilians desperately trapping local pheasants just to have some kind of meat.
And then it gets even worse.
Yeah. They describe horrific scenes of unburied bodies left in the streets and bark beasts, feral dogs eating the corpses. They are desperately calling out the fact that international aid organizations are ignoring the crisis, practically begging for someone to care.
It is a raw, bleeding transmission from a literal war zone.
And the community's reaction is to post memes.
Total chilling detachment.
Yeah. Some users actively mock the poster. Others respond by posting Nazi imagery. Several complain that this politisperging, which is their deeply offensive slang for bringing up serious political realities, is ruining the vibe of the board.
One user simply replies with a cold, robotic sentence. I am now informed.
I have to pause here because I look at this exchange and I struggle to accept the standard academic line on this.
What do you mean?
Well, usually when we look at internet behavior like this, sociologists say, oh, they're just using irony as a defense mechanism to protect their fragile feelings from a scary world.
Right, the coping mechanism theory.
But I'm looking at people complaining about a vibe shift while someone describes feral dogs eating corpses. At what point does the mask become the face? Does communicating exclusively in layers of cruelty eventually just permanently short-circuit a person's capacity for human empathy?
Well, the line between performing cruelty and actually being cruel is paper thin.
Yeah.
And eventually it just dissolves entirely. While I wouldn't call it a biological short circuit, it is a rigid, unforgiving cultural enforcement. Within this specific ecosystem, sincerity is the ultimate sin.
Sincerity is a sin.
Yes. To engage emotionally with that post about Oleshky, to say, that is horrific, I am so sorry you're experiencing that, would require dropping the ironic shield.
And dropping the shield makes you a target to the rest of the group.
Exactly. It makes you vulnerable.
Hmm.
More importantly, showing empathy aligns you with the earnest mainstream world that this community has explicitly defined itself against.
Right. The normies.
So a real-world tragedy cannot be acknowledged as a tragedy. It must be categorized as a nuisance. It is an unwelcome intrusion into their curated space.
Yeah.
Empathy is treated as a weakness, so they violently perform apathy to maintain their status within the hierarchy of the board.
The cruelty proves they belong in the fortress. But what makes this archive so fascinating is that the users are not blindly firing off these cruelties. The twist of this entire thread is that they are highly self-aware.
Surprisingly so.
They actually diagnose their own toxic psychology right there on the board.
Yeah, they engage in a brutally lucid debate about generational disease. The younger users start arguing about Gen X irony poisoning versus millennial and Gen Z post-irony.
They coined this term Zoomers to describe Generation X users.
Right, Zoomers.
The younger members complain that these Zoomers are men in their 50s, holding down regular public sector jobs, yet they are still logging online every night to act like cynical 1990s internet goons.
They view the older generation's brand of irony as a lingering infection that the internet is desperately waiting to heal from.
But they turn that same hypercritical lens on themselves and their own political diets, too. There's a lengthy debate about a prominent right-wing internet figure known as Bronze Age Pervert.
And the users argue back and forth over whether this figure is a serious political voice or just a lolcow.
Right. And a lolcow is this dark piece of internet slang for someone whose eccentricities and delusions are actively milked by an audience for laughs or harassment.
Exactly. Some users argue that this political figure is just a funny man secretly peddling fetish content disguised as philosophy, milking his own audience. They trust absolutely nothing.
They even turn on the AI they were playing with earlier. They mock the writing style generated by Notebook LM, calling it fembrained.
Which is such an oddly specific insult.
Yeah, but they deduce, probably correctly, that the AI's language models were heavily trained on archive of our own.
Oh, the massive repository of fan fiction.
Exactly. So they see the strings behind every piece of culture, every political figure, and every piece of technology.
And this relentless deconstruction culminates in a moment of raw self-reflection. Multiple users openly self-identify as, and I'm quoting directly from the archive here, miserable hikikomori losers.
Wow. And hikikomori is a Japanese term, right?
Yes, it describes individuals suffering from severe social withdrawal, people who refuse to leave their bedrooms for months or years at a time.
And that is the incredible tragic paradox of this entire deep dive. These users possess the exact, precise sociological vocabulary needed to diagnose their own misery.
They really do.
They understand internet history. They know they are isolated. They know their irony is a toxic defense mechanism. Yet they use that brilliant vocabulary strictly to attack each other and deconstruct media rather than to change their behavior or build a better community.
They are trapped in a terminal feedback loop. They understand that their constant cynicism is exhausting. They openly admit they're tired of being miserable.
But they can't stop.
No, because they view earnestness, hope, or trying to improve things as cringe, or as they dismissively call it, Tums are writing.
Right.
Because of that, they are completely paralyzed. They have deconstructed the world so thoroughly that they are unable to build anything
It
new.
is like they have meticulously dismantled their entire house just to prove to everyone that they understand how carpentry works. But now the house is gone and they're just sitting in the rain complaining to each other about the wet wood.
That's exactly it. They are trapped in the ruins of their own intellectualizations.
You know, for you listening right now, it is tempting to look at a thread like this and brush it off as an extreme fringe of the internet.
Oh, absolutely. It's easy to think that has nothing to do with me.
But the truth is, the core struggle we are looking at here, the tension between protecting ourselves with a cool, detached layer of irony versus bravely facing a chaotic world with genuine sincerity, is something every single one of us navigates daily.
We all do it.
We all curate our social media feeds, we all build our little digital fortresses of escapism, and we all have to decide how we react when brutal, inescapable reality breaks through those walls. This thread is just that universal struggle turned up to an extreme toxic volume.
The impulse to retreat into specialized knowledge and dark humor when the world feels overwhelming is a deeply human instinct, even if the manifestation here is utterly hostile.
So as we take off our digital hazmat suits and leave this specific archaeological dig behind, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
What's that?
Well, we spent a lot of time today talking about how these users were feeding their worldviews into Google's artificial intelligence.
Right.
Imagine if a new AI model was trained exclusively on the logic, the humor, the cruelty, and the rules of this specific image board thread, and then that AI was tasked with building a virtual world for humans to live in.
Oh, wow.
Would that AI build a utopia designed to finally fix all of their endless, meticulous complaints? Or would it just build a perfectly cynical, inescapable dungeon?
Based on the architecture they built for themselves, I think we both know what that world will look like.
Something to think about the next time you log on.